This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 60 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. It's become impossible to just have a middle-of-the-road take, really, with anything. If I say something negative about Deshaun Watson, that doesn't mean that I don't like Deshaun Watson or that I think that Deshaun Watson is the worst quarterback of all time. If I say something positive about, I don't know, Amir Abdullah, it doesn't mean I think Amir Abdullah is one of the best running backs in the league. It's going to be okay, guys. My job as an analyst is to analyze. My job is to look at everything and draw a conclusion based on evidence. And almost always, these conclusions will live in a gray area. And it's because my goal isn't to just sit here and spit hot takes. My goal is to give you accurate analysis that can help you win a fantasy football title. And all the while, of course, we should be having fun doing it. We should take our pants off when our fantasy team scores touchdowns. Because if you can't do that, why are you playing fantasy football? But this gray area notion is a really vital part to my 15 transactions column and this podcast each week. Because when I say, sell this player, I'm not saying it as if the dude has a deadly disease. It's all within context. There is a gray area. And that's an important thing to remember with today's first transaction. But before getting into things, I wanted to tell you about Fubo TV. It's the live sports app that lets football fans finally cut the cord for good. No more expensive cable or satellite packages needed to watch your teams. In fact, they go beyond football to show live pro and college basketball, baseball and basketball games, and even the top shows and movies live and on demand on over 65 live TV channels. Fubo TV is offering Late Round Podcast listeners a 7-day free trial. Just go to fubo.tv/FanDuel. That's FUBO.TV and click the button to redeem your free trial. After that, it's just $19.99 per month for the first 2 months. Watch all you want, record games, and stream them on all of your devices. Just go to fubo.tv. That's FUBO.TV to redeem your free 7-day trial. Fubo TV, the most live sports for the least money. All right, now let's talk about, reluctantly, Amari Cooper. Buy Amari Cooper. Even Amari Cooper's biggest haters are shocked by the way that he started this season. There's no way anyone could have predicted this. He's pacing to a 42 catch, 378 yard, 3-touchdown season. No one predicted this. No one. He has 23 yards over his last 3 games. That doesn't even make sense. The question we should ask is this a slump or is this what Amari Cooper is? I will say this, over his last 2 contests, Cooper's faced 2 of the better secondaries in football in Denver and Baltimore. We know the Broncos are good. We know the Broncos can stop opposing wide receivers. But Baltimore has also stopped opposing wide receivers, especially wide receiver ones. AJ Green was wide receiver 28 in week 1 against Baltimore, and Antonio Brown back in week 4 was wide receiver 61. And then of course, Amari Cooper had an awful game on Sunday where he caught the ball once for 8 yards. And then if we want to put even more context around this Amari Cooper situation, remember, Oakland played against Washington and Oakland's entire offense was dreadful. Derek Carr threw for just 118 yards. So yes, Cooper has been bad. But there are at least matchup reasons or team reasons why Amari Cooper was so bad over the last 3 games. Now, with that being said, he's seen fewer than 17% of the Raiders' targets over this time. But there is one piece that I'm really interested by. It's kind of strange. He's actually totaled 42.86% of the team's red zone targets over the last 3 weeks. That's the highest share in all of football. So if the offense does get things going a bit when Derek Carr returns, maybe those looks will translate a bit. But that's not the crux of the argument here. Not at all. I'm not here to make excuses for Amari Cooper. When I say buy Amari Cooper, it's not because I think Amari Cooper is all of a sudden going to be the guy that everyone drafted in the second round. But again, if we take a step back, Amari Cooper's circumstances have not been that great. And even though I don't love doing this, we do still have to recognize the fact that he was a late second and early third round pick in fantasy football this offseason for a reason. It's his 3rd year in the league, and in his only 2 NFL seasons, at age 21 and 22, Cooper hadn't seen fewer than 72 catches, 1,070 yards, and 5 touchdowns in a single campaign. You wouldn't believe how many people in my Twitter mentions were saying, oh, well, this is just Amari Cooper. He's a bust. Amari Cooper is not a bust. At least not yet. Amari Cooper has been great to start his NFL career. In fact, Amari Cooper is one of 7 wide receivers to start their NFL career with back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Odell Beckham, Marcus Colston, Mike Evans, AJ Green, and Randy Moss are on that list. Amari Cooper has been good. To say Amari Cooper isn't good is complete hindsight BS. Amari Cooper has been good. He's been bad since week one this season. There's a big difference there. We have to remember that fantasy football is a game of probability. If Amari Cooper is all of a sudden finished, then that means that he is going to break probability. Because, like I said, what he's accomplished so far in his young career is elite. For him to just fall off the face of the earth, that would be a huge anomaly. And the other part of fantasy football, aside from it being a probability-driven game, is that it's a buying and selling players at the right time kind of game. In my mentions on Monday, I had someone actually say that Amari Cooper was a glorified Marquise Goodwin. A glorified Marquise Goodwin. Amari Cooper is 23 years old, and as a 21 and 22-year-old, he had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And we're calling him a glorified Marquise Goodwin. I sent a poll out on Twitter that said, who would you rather have the rest of the season? And it was Amari Cooper or Will Fuller. That poll is about 50-50. Recency bias is incredible. I'm not saying Will Fuller cannot beat Amari Cooper from here on out. I'm saying this is a game of probability here, guys. The chance that Will Fuller beats out Amari Cooper is not that large. It could happen, sure, but don't let recency bias cloud your judgment. What I'm basically saying here is that the perception out there is that Amari Cooper is indeed done. The perception out there is that you can get Amari Cooper for not a lot. Why would you not want to buy into that probability? I mean, guys, it's week five. We finished 5 weeks of the season. One of those games didn't even have Derek Carr. One of the other games had Derek Carr throwing for 118 yards. And then the other game, Derek Carr got hurt, and Amari Cooper was playing against Denver, the best secondary in the entire NFL. I'm not saying that it's a lock that Amari Cooper turns things around. I'm playing probability. And by playing probability, it says you should be buying Amari Cooper right now. Sell Christian McCaffrey. If you listen to this podcast, if you read my content, you know that I think Christian McCaffrey was the RB1 in this year's draft class. I love Christian McCaffrey. But this year, from a fantasy standpoint, I don't love Christian McCaffrey. He has good peripheral numbers. He's played 70% of Carolina snaps. That's a top 10 number at the running back position. And he's seen a crazy amount of Carolina's targets. He's seen over 23% of Carolina's targets. And he's yet to rank worse than RB35 in weekly PPR scoring at the running back position. But the fear with Christian McCaffrey is the same fear that I had entering the season. It's the same fear that I had entering week 4 and week 5 and week 3 and whatever week during the season. It's touchdown upside. He's yet to see a goal line touch this season when Jonathan Stewart has 5 goal line touches and Cam Newton has 2. And look, I'm not comparing him to this running back, so don't get me wrong here, but if you compare the output of Christian McCaffrey to someone like Andre Ellington is not that different right now. McCaffrey has more natural upside. There is no doubt about that. If McCaffrey becomes the main lead back on early downs in the Carolina backfield, he has a crazy amount of upside. If he starts seeing goal line touches, he has a crazy amount of upside. But right now, he's not that much different than Andre Ellington. Andre Ellington's actually seen more targets than Christian McCaffrey has this year. The difference is that we know Andre Ellington will not be the team's featured back. The upside with Christian McCaffrey is still there. But that upside is all based on potential, or it's based on a Jonathan Stewart injury. The Panthers are just not using Christian McCaffrey that way. And as long as the offense is clicking, which it is right now, and as long as the Panthers are winning, which they are, why should we assume that's going to change? So given that Christian McCaffrey's coming off a game where he scored a touchdown, I think that he's a great sell this week. Add Elijah McGuire. So on Sunday, I didn't watch a lot of the Browns-Jets game, and I looked at the box score at the end of the game, and I didn't understand why Elijah McGuire saw so many more touches than Bilal Powell. And then I realized, oh, Bilal Powell left the game towards the end of the second half, and he did not come back into the game. He was on the sideline, though, which tells me that this injury might not be that bad, but regardless, Elijah McGuire led the team in snaps with 35 this past week. But if Powell does miss time, and we know that Matt Forte is dealing with a turf toe injury, all of a sudden, Elijah McGuire is the lead back in an NFL backfield. It's not a great offense to be a lead back in, but he should see volume if those two things happen. I think he's worth an add off the waiver wire this week. Add Roger Lewis and buy Evan Ingram. So the Giants wide receiving group just got destroyed this past weekend. And every single one of them had some sort of ankle injury. It was really, really bizarre. But Odell Beckham's out for the year, Brandon Marshall has a sprained ankle, and Sterling Shepard is week to week with an ankle injury of his own. Even Dwayne Harris got injured. He's sidelined for the season. So that leaves Roger Lewis as the lone wideout on the Giants roster. Roger Lewis is going to be a starter for the New York Giants. This is one of the rare cases where a wide receiver off the waiver wire is going to walk into a bunch of volume. Usually we see that from running backs, but we're seeing it from a wide receiver because literally every wide receiver got hurt on this Giants roster. And I think that they're going to have to utilize Evan Ingram more as a receiver. I mean, they've basically done that all season long, but they're going to have to do it more because they have no other choice. Evan Ingram has run more routes, according to Pro Football Focus, than any other tight end in football to start the season, because the Giants do kind of treat him as a wideout. And with few pass catchers available, he should see a bump in volume. So he's a buy, and Roger Lewis is an add. Buy Demaryius Thomas. So according to Demaryius Thomas's net expected points profile, which is a metric we use at NumberFire to show actual production or how many points or real points a player is adding for his team, Demaryius Thomas should have 1.38 touchdowns, but he has zero. That difference heading into this past week was the third largest gap at wideout in all of football. The other wide receivers with a larger difference were Julio Jones and Pierre Garçon. That shouldn't be that surprising because of the lack of touchdowns by those three wide receivers. Now, teammate Emmanuel Sanders has out-targeted Thomas 6-2 in the red zone this year. But what charting this metric, net expected points, and how many points added a player has versus how many touchdowns he scored, what it shows us is regression. It's saying this is what he's done from a points added perspective, and this is how many touchdowns he's scored. Generally speaking, the more points added, the more touchdowns you should score. Just like the more yards you have, the more touchdowns you should score. Thomas has had fairly consistent production, and I expect touchdown progression to come. And he also just had his bye week, so you have that out of the way. I think Demaryius Thomas is a pretty good buy this week. Add Ricardo Lewis. So Ricardo Lewis has led the Browns in snaps played at wide receiver in three consecutive weeks, and over this time, he's seen 18.7% of Cleveland's targets, resulting in 6, 9, and 8 targets in weeks 3, 4, and 5, respectively. Kenny Britt's dealing with a knee and groin injury. That coaching staff doesn't even like Kenny Britt. So that type of volume could continue for Ricardo Lewis in this Browns offense. And I think it's going to be kind of interesting against a banged up Texans defense next week, followed by a Titans secondary that's allowed more top 20 wide receiver performances than any other team in football to start the year. So add Ricardo Lewis if you're looking for wide receiver help. Sell LeGarrette Blount. On 30 carries over the last 2 weeks, and these are 2 weeks without Darren Sproles in the Philadelphia backfield, LeGarrette Blount has 210 rushing yards. Only Leonard Fournette has more rushing yards over this time. So Blount owners might be sitting there thinking, hey, we just hit the jackpot because LeGarrette Blount's going ham without Darren Sproles in the backfield. But guys, LeGarrette Blount's snap rates have still been really low. This is a completely shared backfield. Even without Wendell Smallwood in the lineup this past week, Blount only played 39% of the team's snaps. And in week 4 with Wendell Smallwood, that number was 33%. So given his role in the passing game, which is, I don't have a role in the passing game, LeGarrette Blount is a good sell this week. He's going to be unpredictable week in and week out. It just so happens that the last 2 weeks, Philadelphia has destroyed its competition and seen a nice positive game script. That's not going to happen week in and week out. Buy the Falcons passing attack. Entering 2017, the whole fantasy football world was saying, yes, Matt Ryan is going to regress. We all knew it was going to happen. But now Matt Ryan's actually a progression candidate or a positive regression candidate. Part of the reason Matt Ryan won MVP and was as good as he was last year is because he had an unsustainable 7.1% touchdown rate, meaning 7.1% of his attempts went for touchdowns. Prior to last season, Ryan's highest single season touchdown rate was 5.2%, and his career rate was around 4.5%. And then this season, Ryan's touchdown rate is just 3.7%. So he's below his career average to start the year. Things will naturally bounce back for Matt Ryan. That's partially because Devontae Freeman is overperforming in the touchdown department given his usage and his total yardage. He has 5 rushing touchdowns, but that should be closer to 2. Now, a lot of this has to do with the fact that Atlanta's got the 4th lowest pass-to-run ratio in the entire NFL with a starting field position within the opponent's 5-yard line. So when they're at the goal line, Atlanta's been running the ball a lot more than the average team in the NFL. That's why Devontae Freeman has scored so many touchdowns to start the season. And that may not change. The Falcons might continue to just pound the rock with Freeman close to the end zone. But their red zone play calling has not been as run heavy. From a pass to run ratio standpoint, their red zone play calling has been about average throughout the NFL. What that tells me is that they're not just trying to run the football in the red zone. They're not just trying to limit interceptions. And things should turn around over the next 3 weeks for this Falcons passing attack. They get Miami this week, then New England, and then the Jets. Each of those three teams have a bottom half secondary according to NumberFire's schedule adjusted metrics. So sending out offers for Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, I already talked about Julio Jones as someone who should have way more touchdowns than he does. I don't think trying to get those two players is a bad idea right now. Add Marlon Mack. So Marlon Mack came back after missing two games with a shoulder injury, and he looked great. He carried the ball 9 times on Sunday for 91 yards and a score. With that being said, he only played 22% of the team's snaps. But as of today, Marlon Mack's success rate, or the percentage of positive expected points runs made by a running back, is 10 percentage points higher than what we've seen from Frank Gore. Marlon Mack's success rate is at 32%, and Frank Gore's is at 22%. And Mack has been much more effective in terms of overall efficiency. He has a rushing net expected points per rush of minus 0.02, which is about league average. Frank Gore's is minus 0.26. That is horrendous. Frank Gore has been horrendous this year. Now, you might not feel confident starting Marlon Mack right away. I don't think that you should. But as the season goes on, he could, and probably should, see a larger workload in that offense. And if Andrew Luck comes back, he's going to be in better situations as well. You're just going to have to add Marlon Mack this week to reap those benefits down the line. Buy LeSean McCoy. So LeSean McCoy has 87 attempts and 279 rushing yards this year. So LeSean McCoy now has 87 attempts for 279 rushing yards this year. When you take the last 6 years of running back data and do a quick regression analysis, McCoy's rushing attempt aggregate tells us that he should have closer to 2.5 rushing touchdowns this year. And his yardage total tells us that he should have 1.88 rushing touchdowns. So either way, whichever way you want to look at it, LeSean McCoy should have more than 0 touchdowns. He's underperforming a lot in the touchdown department. Now you've got the Bills heading into their bye, so the McCoy owner might be a little bit more lenient in giving him up. That's something that I talked about on this past week's mailbag episode. Trade for guys who are about to go on the bye, because you might be able to get better value for them. And Buffalo doesn't have any pass catchers left. Charles Clay is going to miss some time now. That could lead to LeSean McCoy's 24% target market share to be somewhat, and I stress the word somewhat, sustainable. Just for reference, Matt Forte's 21% target market share from the 2014 season is the highest that we've seen over the last 6 seasons. So I don't necessarily expect LeSean McCoy to keep this up, but I do think that LeSean McCoy is going to see a lot of volume through the air this season. So with the potential workload, the touchdowns that should come, and the fact that Buffalo's got their bye this week, I think McCoy makes for a great purchase. Add Matt Breida. So Carlos Hyde played 46% of San Francisco's snaps on Sunday. That was easily the lowest rate of his season. His previous low rate was 69%, and it was very nice. Initially, when I saw how few attempts Carlos Hyde was getting, I thought that it had to do with his hip injury. But then Kyle Shanahan came out and said, that wasn't the case. Carlos Hyde wasn't sidelined because of an injury. He was just sidelined. They just used Matt Breida. Now, perhaps it had to do with a slightly negative game script. That would make some sense. Matt Breida can catch the ball out of the backfield. But Matt Breida played more snaps than Carlos Hyde on Sunday. He carried the ball 10 times and he saw 5 targets through the air. So there's a chance that moving forward that Matt Breida has some flex appeal. But on top of that, he serves as Carlos Hyde's handcuff. So if Kyle Shanahan's just messing with us and Carlos Hyde does have an injury, or they're just not playing Carlos Hyde as much because they fear for an injury, that makes Matt Breida even more attractive. I think he's a good add off the waiver wire this week. Drop Jeremy Hill. So Jeremy Hill is still owned in 17% of Yahoo leagues, and that number should be a lot lower. He's yet to play more than 23% of Cincinnati snaps this year. He has fewer than 100 yards on 28 carries, and teammate Joe Mixon has the lone 2 goal line touches for the Bengals this season. Jeremy Hill's upside is that he was going to be the goal line back. Jeremy Hill is not the goal line back. There's no reason to hold on to Hill unless you're in a massively deep league. Add Jacoby Brissett. The quarterback streaming selections this week are not fantastic, but there are definitely a handful of them that you can get off your waiver wire that could be somewhat useful. And Jacoby Brissett is part of that group. He's going up against a Tennessee secondary that's allowed the 3rd most points per game to opposing fantasy quarterbacks, and that's despite holding Jay Cutler to fewer than 100 yards this past week. My general fear with Brissett is that if Marcus Mariota doesn't play, this game could just look more conservative. If Marcus Mariota does play, the Colts are going to need to throw the ball more than they would otherwise. That's good for fantasy production. But going up against NumberFire's 29th ranked secondary, I think you could do worse than Jacoby Brissett off the waiver wire this week. Add George Kittle. So George Kittle had somewhat of a coming out party this week. He saw 9 targets, he caught 7 of them, He had 83 yards and a touchdown. Prior to Week 5's contest, Kittle was averaging just 3.5 targets per game. But I will say this, there were context clues there, and I'm kind of mad at myself for not talking about them more. He's now played 73% of the 49ers snaps, which is a top 15 number at the tight end position. And according to Pro Football Focus, he's been running plenty of routes. He ranks top 10 in routes run at the tight end position. That's hugely important. You want your tight ends out there running routes because that way they can actually catch passes. They're not standing there blocking. So I do think that George Kittle is intriguing from a week in and week out standpoint. But then you look at his matchup this week against Washington. Washington's allowed a top 11 tight end performance in each game played this year, with two of those contests coming against Jared Cook and Gerald Everett. Teams have been targeting opponent wide receivers against Washington at a sub 50% rate this year. That's one of the lower marks in the league, and that's led to nice volume to opposing tight ends. If you're not targeting the wide receivers, you're going to target the tight end. It could be a negative game script for the 49ers when they go to Washington. That means that Kittle is a strong streaming option at the very least this week. Add the Falcons defense. Guys, the Falcons are at home this week and they're playing against Jay Cutler. That's really all you should need to know. But Vegas currently has the Falcons as 11-point favorites, which means that Jay Cutler, who's thrown a pick in each of his last three games while tossing the ball for fewer than 100 yards this past Sunday, will almost definitely be seeing a negative game script. Jay Cutler in a negative game script is defensive streaming heaven. Add the Falcons this week. Add Josh McCown. The 16th transaction this week that you won't find in the 15 transactions article on NumberFire is to add Josh McCown. McCown's going to face a Patriots team that's now allowed 300 yards and at least one touchdown pass to every quarterback that they've faced. The game itself this weekend actually has a decent 47.5 point over-under, and while that doesn't give the Jets a great implied team total, a large proportion of the touchdowns that have been scored against New England this year have been via the air, not the ground. They've given up 12 passing touchdowns and 4 rushing touchdowns, which is a top 10 ratio in the league. Josh McCown is not a safe option. Josh McCown will never be a safe option. But this week, I really don't mind him. That'll do it for the 15 Transaction Show. Thank you all for tuning in. I really, really appreciate it. If you've yet to subscribe to the show, please do so by going to iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, and Stitcher. And like I've been telling you, if you want to win a free NumberFire premium subscription for an entire year, all you have to do is go to iTunes and leave a rating and review. At the end of each month, I'll pick someone out at random to win that subscription. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB, and if you have any non-start sit questions for this week's mailbag show, you can send them to me on Twitter or email me at jj@numberfire.com. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you Thursday with the Start Sit Show.